Compared to like jumping dirt bikes and like half the stuff we do, like theme parks are pretty mellow.
When you do what we do, it's like at work, you go through 100 times less safe things than a roller coaster every single day.
Welcome to the Scent and Bent podcast. Will and I have been in Florida for 2 days now, and it feels like a lifetime. So we wanted to catch you up on what's happened since we got here and just how awesome Florida is, because we randomly got this nice free upgrade to a hotel room that has like a couch and a whole living room. And we were like, man, if we don't film a podcast here,
then we're going to lose everything that we've seen. And we're just going to sum it up when we get back to Sandpoint, and that would not be nearly as interesting.
Last night was the first night that we got a lot of sleep. It's like 10 in the morning, and it's been like a whole travel day and then 2 days of going incredibly hard Florida man style. Mm-hmm. And Will's never been here before, so what do you think so far?
I would love to live here. I love this place. You can ride motorcycles here all year round. The roads are buttery smooth. It's perfect temperature. You have the ocean. You have crazy people. It's just nice.
You are a Florida man.
Yeah, I didn't realize what I was missing out on until I came here. It was dangerous bringing me here. It's quite nice.
The weather really is nice in the winter. I lived in Orlando for 2 years, right, you know, growing up in small town, North Idaho. Right when I turned 18, I was like, I'm making electronic music. There's two places to do it, L.A. or Florida.
Yep.
I went straight to Florida, and I was just so night owl. I actually experienced more Florida stuff in the last 2 days than I did when I lived here for two years. As I just made music in my apartment all day and then went out and DJed all night for like 2 years straight.
Yeah. I guess you wouldn't really see all the things we saw.
Yeah. I didn't even see an alligator.
I saw like 100 of them. They're crazy. Alligators exactly. are insane. I held an alligator. Yeah. They feel like a nice pair of leather boots or something.
Nah.
Very weird.
A brand brought us here last minute. If you follow us on Instagram, you've seen that like we're just kind of looking for things to do on last minute. So a brand's Anchor, they make like this cool solar setups and stuff and backup power that we're going to put in the garage. And so we went to this Overland Expo, and there was some really cool stuff there, actually. That's where the brand had us go, because they had a booth there. And there was some Unimogs that were built different than our Unimog. Honestly,
after seeing those Unimogs, I don't even think that we have a Unimog.
I don't think so either.
Like, our Unimog, we bought our Unimog for a pretty good price with a Mazda MPV minivan body on top of it.
And a Unimog is those like giant four-wheel drive trucks that are like war machines.
Yeah, but ours is tiny. And these people's axles were like giant and really beefed up. They just looked like completely different machines. So I don't know what we have, but I don't think it's a Unimog.
Because these things are so stout and big and awesome, and this one has a crane that can pick up a little motorcycle, bring it off their aluminum back porch, and just set it down on the ground. And this couple's like driving it across the country. We talked to them, it was so cool. And then I was like, wait a minute,
yeah,
our Unimog is like what we call the redneck go-kart. The LC8 that's now in the monster chopper was in the front of it. And Unimogs are awesome because they have portal axles, so they're really geared down. And then the like chassis flex perfectly. They're like ultimate off-road trundling machines. I got on the ground and looked underneath this Unimog that had the motorcycle lift, and I didn't recognize a single part from ours. Not all Unimogs are built the same.
They aren't. Like, what do we have? Do we have the Unimog light or like the Unimog diet?
Probably.
Like, what the heck is that?
That's what I was thinking when I was, because Ethan's been so obsessed with Unimogs for so long, and there's only like really jank ones in Idaho.
Yeah,
like that have just been on someone's farm, like pulling farm equipment for like 30 years or something. And then like we get ours with the minivan, And I just never got it. Like, Ethan talks about it, and he told us that not all of them are as bad as ours or whatever. But, like, I don't know. He just is so obsessed with it. And, like, it took going to this event for me to be like, wow, Unimogs are pretty sweet.
Yeah, I finally understood why Ethan likes them so much. And I think he's referring to the ones we saw.
Yeah.
I don't know what that other thing is. Because it's not a Unimog.
Yeah, ours is probably the lightest duty Unimog money can buy. Yeah,
must be.
And then it's also the least amount of money that a Unimog can buy. But yeah, after that, we went straight to Daytona, and it's bike week right now.
And so bike week is rowdy. We saw over, I'd say we saw over 5,000 bikes. You think that's an over-exaggeration?
No. When we drove past the fairgrounds, it was like an entire fairgrounds just
fields of them.
Full of motorcycles.
Yeah.
So cool.
No one wears their helmet here, which I don't advise. But they're all on like choppers just rolling around, the craziest paint jobs, just vibing. We listened, we heard someone pull up to us in our rental car, and they're listening to the Yeehaw song.
Oh, yeah, you can't take away my yeehaw. And so we Shazammed it.
Yep.
And listened to it all the way back to our hotel.
Yeah.
And we just saw like so much cool biker stuff on the way to the hotel. This is like middle of the day. When bike week really comes alive is at night on Main Street. We saw things.
Yeah. Night on Main Street, bike night is one of the craziest sights. I don't even know if we could talk about everything we saw.
Well, I've been to Oktoberfest, the biggest beer festival. There's like these big tents of each like brew house has like their tent, and then there's music and dancing, and you go in and have a good time, and that's supposed to be like a really renowned crazy party.
Mm-hmm.
This was 100% the American Chopper Boy version of Oktoberfest, because it's just one street and there are these big temporary bars that seem like they're only there for the event, and motorcycles are just going up and down, and cars aren't even allowed on Main Street. There's like guards on like either side, and all the roads are marked off, so just toppers are going back and forth, going in and out of the restaurants and everything. And on our way there, we just saw this two beam situation.
Oh, the slingshot.
And we're getting closer, and we're like, huh, I think we have to do that.
Yeah, it's shooting this ball of light into the sky, like up into the stars, and then back down. And we're like, what is that? So we look it up. It's called the slingshot. And there's also a ride next to it called the Vominator.
The Vomitron.
The Vomitron.
Yeah. The slingshot is the fastest slingshot in the world. It's two bungee cords. They like pull you down in two little seats kind of tethered together with a little harness bar. And then they just launch you into the sky.
390 feet into the sky.
Yeah.
I think you reach 0 to 100 miles an hour in 2 seconds, which is like 5 feet.
Yeah. So it we were like, insane. Should we eat first? Should we not eat first? Like, I'm not afraid of roller coasters ever. Are you?
No.
Like, they don't even like,
they don't freak me out at all.
Compared to like jumping dirt bikes and like half the stuff we do, like theme parks are pretty mellow.
Pretty lame. To be honest. Yeah.
Like, if you're seeking adrenaline, like, we just get that at work, like on the daily, more than you could get at most theme parks.
Yeah. Cause I think like, someone who didn't do that wouldn't realize that that's like way safer. But then when you do what we do, it's like at work, you go through 100 times less safe things than a roller coaster every single day.
Yeah, like the double cart that you just finished.
Yeah.
Like driving that thing together at maximum speeds down Ethan's driveway with like no safety equipment whatsoever and trees everywhere.
Yeah.
That's more adrenaline than you can get at a normal theme park. Honestly,
I think that's the first time like in one of my projects that I've been a little scared is when Ryan and I went out.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't know like what Ryan's skill level was, or like if he knew what that craft could do. And he really got into it, and he was like zipping down the road like at maximum speed. And I was like, oh man, if we slide out and like out of the snow and hit a tree, this would be actually bad.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first time I realized like, oh man, like that engine might not be held in as well as I think it is. Yeah. Or
the throttle could stick, like I handcrafted that throttle.
Yeah.
So all these things make that part of the adrenaline just way more intense. So we're walking up to this thing and we're like, we weren't even sure if we were going to do a video yet. 2 days before we were in Florida, we thought we weren't going to Florida, but this deal came through on the last minute, brought us out here.
I still didn't believe that I was going to Florida, like until we were like on the airplane, because Edwin had been telling me for like 2 weeks. He's like, all right, we're going to Florida. All right, we're going to be going to Florida. And then like 2 days before, you were like, ah, oh, the deal fell through. Like, we're not going to Florida. And then the next day we were going to Florida. I was like, what is going on, man?
And then we bought one-way tickets too.
Mm-hmm.
So we still don't know when we're going back.
Yeah.
And we're having a great time and it's really bad weather back home, so we might just chill for a while.
Yeah. My girlfriend keeps sending me pictures of like feet of snow on my car. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to go back there.
So we're walking up to the slingshot. As we get closer and closer, it's just looking bigger and bigger. And we're like, huh, I mean, bike week, we can hang out with some cool other YouTubers here. Maybe we could get a video out of this. And then we're like, well, the ride might not be that crazy, but maybe it'll be entertaining for the video. And then when we get up to it, we're like, oh.
It's like two little race seats, like hot glued together, essentially, with some harness bars. And it just, you get in it, it tilts you up. And you realize at that point that it really is just bungee cords.
Yeah.
Holding some seats together.
Uh-huh.
And launching you 390 feet in the air. It is a very interesting machine.
Yeah. So we see someone do it and we're like, wow, that actually is kind of scary, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think we both went into it like full confidence it wasn't going to be scary at all. We get strapped into this thing and like, you just start to get some anxiety because you're just looking there and he keeps saying like, okay, are you ready? Are you ready? But he doesn't launch you.
Yeah.
Like, we're just like, yeah, like just get it over with at this point. Like, let's just go. Let's go to the moon, you know? And so we're just sitting there and he's like, yeah, it's the fastest one in the world. And like, I didn't even know this was a thing. And there were other ones. Like, I don't know. There's nothing like that in Idaho, I tell you what.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, okay, ready? We're like, ready. And as it launches, it's probably around like 70 or 80 miles an hour where I was like, okay, it has to be done accelerating, but it perpetually accelerates more and more and more. You're going straight into the sky. This is already dark. And then at the very top, it flips around. And what I wasn't expecting is even more G-forces on the way down.
It gathers more speed going back down, and it flips you upside down. And then you're looking back at the ground, which I wasn't expecting. I kind of thought it just shot you straight up and straight down.
Yeah, me too.
No. It like rolls around.
You just
multiple times.
Ragdoll in a hamster wheel just, yah! And we were just screaming the entire time. That's why this was the first day here. Today's the morning of day three, and our voices still haven't recovered from just screaming our guts out on the dumb slingshot ride. And you go back and forth and back and forth and spin around, and you see like the city lights, the dark sky, the city lights, the dark sky. Just like a wild ride.
Yeah, it is a crazy ride. So we did that. Then we went to bike week, and there was a lot of crazy things at bike week.
What I was surprised is like the kind of Harley guy culture and gal was like all the stereotypes were so true at bike week. It made me so happy. Like we walked past this tattoo spot that had like 8 tattoo beds in it.
Yeah, there's 8 people tattooing and just open doors.
Yeah.
And people are just
Just walking in, getting tattoos nonstop. And so we're kind of taking out the camera because this graveyard is like a real graveyard. is backlit with those spooky lights. Remember that?
Blue Halloween lights that you could get at like Walmart. They had them installed in this graveyard. And I don't think it was part of Bike Night. I just think it was something they do in Florida. It was weird.
They just like want it to look haunted or something so people don't mess with it or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It looked freaky.
Yeah. But so we bust out the camera because we're like, oh, we got to film this. And this man walks by with like a 2 foot tall white exotic bird on his shoulder, like a big biker beard. And he's just talking to one of his friends. And so I'm already filming. So, of course, I'm filming the guy with the bird on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he just whips around the corner and goes straight into the tattoo shop.
Yeah. Serious as ever. He just, it looks like he's had this bird on his shoulder the whole time. He's just walking around.
Yeah. He just got this like bird on the shoulder when he was a kid and just kept it.
It looks like he's never lived any different life, which is hilarious. But, It was all Harley people, though, which I was confused about, because in Idaho, like, it would be all street people, like all street bikes. In Seattle, it would be all street bikes. Here, all Harleys. I saw like 3 street bikes, and they were all Gixxers, which, I mean, I don't know if you know what a Gixxer bro is, but they like drive around in flip-flops and t-shirts and no helmets. That's what someone who drives a Gixxer does. So it was very Florida.
Yeah, I've learned a few things about stereotypes while we're here. You told me about the Gixxer bros, which I didn't know because I've never been in the road bike community. And then last night, we're just trying to get some sparkling waters at this grocery. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, you got to thank the Subaru people for these granola bars.
Yeah, the kind granola bars being on the shelves.
And I was like, what? I thought he was trying to make some kind of Subaru joke. But then I realized that kind granola bars are like more of the Subaru community than vape jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you're making up or the people agree true. With you?
The people agree with me. There's no way they wouldn't. If there's 2 types of stereotypes. There's like the Monster Energy and like blueberry vape guys that drive like STI hatchbacks or like STI, any kind of STI or WRX.
The stereotypes are a lot more specific than I thought.
Yeah, so that would be like they would have like a WRX and they'd be smoking like a vape and drinking Monster. But then there's also like an Outback Wilderness mom who has a golden retriever.
Oh, I and see.
Goes to spin classes. She's going to have about 85 half off kind granola bars from Costco. And like a golden retriever. So those are the 2 stereotypes. And she's going to hike and she's going to have like a Patagonias and stuff like that. That would be 1 stereotype.
Okay.
And then there'd be like a BMX rider with a bike rack on the top of his Subaru, blueberry vape, and a white Monster. Those are the 2 people that drive Subarus.
Okay. It's a good demographic. Those are cool people.
Black ice air freshener.
Yep.
Cross-country skier.
Speaking of spin class, Will didn't know what it was. I had to describe it to him.
I literally thought spin class was a whole bunch of people in a room spinning around like with their arms open, like wide, like, I was like, wow, that is awesome.
So recently, Will inspired me to make this song based on Subarus, and we released it in a video, and it's Drift Funk, which is this like genre of Will's people, the Monster stereotype specifically.
Yeah, that side of Subarus.
I don't know if the kind bar moms are listening to Drift Funk, but
no.
It's like atmospheric trap music with a lot of cowbells and like really fast mumbly lyrics that you can't understand. And so this one's all about Subarus. It's about blowing head gaskets, and if you can't fix it, Will buy it off of you. It's really nice.
You guys should really go check it out if you haven't heard it yet.
It's called Will's Drift Funk. And so I get a text that my wife is in spin class, and the spin teacher follows Grindhard on Instagram, and she loves our videos because she's really into, like, she has, like, pink accents on all of her Jeeps, and she used to drive a pink Dodge, like, or no, she had a pink STI.
Oh, really? That's sick.
She either had a pink STI or like a pink that Dodge cool. Charger, but either way, it's sweet. Yeah. So she loves our stuff.
That's awesome.
And so my wife texted me after spin and she was like, they played Will's Drift Funk at spin class. And I'm like, yes, no. That's so cool. And I was telling Will and he was like, oh, that's awesome. And I could tell by the way he was talking about it that he didn't understand what spin class was. But it's like,
I mean, thought that it was like that trap beat that you made with like, Will will buy it off of you. And then there's just all these people in the room like spinning around with their arms like out.
Like they just like make themselves dizzy for some kind of health benefit. Yeah, and that's
what I thought M does for like the whole time I knew that she went to spin class.
It probably would be something like... I thought
they just all went in a room and like spun around.
What were we talking about on the way to this hotel that also like blew your mind that you had no idea what it was?
A lot of things have been blowing my mind in Florida, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we went off a tangent off bike week, but there's some beautiful bikes there. Some really cool stuff. And we actually saw some ruckuses.
Mm-hmm. And it was making us, really want, the Ruckus to be there, CBR 1000 double R Ruckus.
Yeah, and a Ruckus is basically like a Honda version of a Vespa. Like it's a little moped. It's really not a motorcycle. It's a scooter. That's what you call it, right?
Yeah, I think they're just slightly below 50 cc's. So I don't even know what you would call their scooters. Yeah.
And so what I didn't realize is that when Will bought the original scooter, it came with a title. Because I was like, how do we get, like, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of unregistered bikes there and people don't care as long as you don't do anything crazy. But let's say we happen to do something crazy and get in trouble. It'd be better if it was registered.
Yeah. That's like the biggest thing that I realized while I was there is like, there was nothing crazy going on with the bikes. Like no one was being disrespectful or wheeling or anything like you would expect. A lot more to be happening with a whole bunch of drunk people and high horsepower motorcycles. Like, didn't you realize that? Like, there was nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple like burnout marks on the street, but that's not crazy.
No.
And like, I thought for sure there'd be people wheeling up and down and like,
same.
Yeah. It was pretty under control, like as far as the on the street stuff goes. Mm-hmm. Like, the off the street stuff was a little rowdy, but. Still not crazy. Like, they're just, like, live bands were singing Shania Twain with, like, hundreds of people just dancing. Like, for the most
dancing.
Part. I mean, there's some other weird stuff going on.
There was like, some other weird
I'd
things,
say, like, but. 90% of the time, like, it was just, like, literally someone was, like, singing the national anthem on stage and, like, the whole crowd was swinging back and forth. And we kept saying, this, Florida's the most American state.
Yeah.
It made me understand. We haven't met Cletus McFarland yet. We might meet him on this trip or maybe on, well, for sure when we do the Freedom 500 next month. But it made me understand his personality so much more.
Yeah.
Like, we saw more American flags, more patriotism. A joke we made in the video was Will just was filming me and I didn't even realize really. And I was just like driving and I was like, man, we live where bald eagles go to mate. And there's like literally people come from around the world to like take boat tours on our lake to like look at the eagles. Like Will's girlfriend literally works at the place. Bald Eagle boat tour place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's where people go to see bald eagles. And we saw more driving from this overland event to Daytona, just on the back of people's jackets that I've ever seen in my entire life combined.
Yeah. There's like pictures of them. It's just very like patriotic here.
There was a whole store that had a giant, like, it'd fill up this entire couch, how big it was. Constitution, U.S. Constitution, American flag, Statue of Liberty, bald eagle, Mustang, right in the middle.
Like, the most American Mustang ever.
Yeah, it was the I'll murder the name of it, but it's the Mustang you think about when you think of the one that you want. If you think of the most American Mustang, that's it. And it's like, wow, I've just never seen anything more that American before.
Yeah, this place is different. That's for sure.
The lawlessness and the kind of do what you want nature and like, I don't know, because Idaho's pretty much like that. Like, we don't have like emission stuff or like there's a lot of public land and I don't know. There's some like very American things in Idaho, but everything's just a little more free here. Like, you can drive your car and your chopper on the beach.
It's awesome.
There's like, not a lot of places in the country
Florida
you can do that.
Florida is like all the best pieces of Idaho plus 800 times more of that. Like, it's like everything that's good about Idaho, like not really caring about smog and not really caring about the car you drive and all of that. But then it also, the police don't care what you do nearly as much like Seattle, which I really enjoy, and their roads are maintained.
The roads are perfect.
And it's nice and warm here. That's really nice.
And we got ripped off on the way here because the car guy talked us into buying the toll pass, and we haven't gone on one toll road.
Tolls.
We've driven like 700 miles in 2 days, and we haven't hit one toll road.
Yeah.
And then we did a podcast. I'm not sure if it'll come before or after this, but we did a podcast with the guys who started Swamp Fest, which is the craziest Florida man party ever. And after we were done with that podcast, we were like, yeah, like we're just gonna like find a hotel. Like, we're just running by the edge of our seat, you know? Is that the saying? The edge of your seat? The flight of your pants?
Getting pulled by the flight of your pants?
Oh, man. Will and I aren't exactly wordsmiths.
No, we don't smith words very well. But wait, I think you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself. At bike night, after bike night, we actually managed to find some food, which is really hard in Florida for some reason. And then we went to the Vomitron,
which is at the same place as the slingshot, but it goes, yo, just spins in circles super fast. It's like a G-force simulator for space.
Because like when I saw it go around, it looked like it only went around like once or twice.
Yeah.
How many times would you reckon it went around? Like,
it went around like five times. It switched directions and went around five times. Because there's this lady that like was at the booth, and we asked her, we're like, hey, you know, like, is it worth it for the shirt? Because you get like the shirt and the video of you doing it, and like it's more expensive or whatever. Like, it's a total tourist traps kind of situation.
Yeah.
And we learned later that privately owned theme parks are a little bit jank.
Yeah, especially in Florida. And that one was down by the ocean, which,
yeah,
that's a good point. Like, that thing's metal, and it just sits right on the ocean every single day. And
there's a lot
people.
Of things we didn't think about,
mm-hmm.
but we were like, hey, we got to go again. Just one last boost of adrenaline before we walk back to the hotel. And she was like, we're like, should we do the other one, the Vomitron, or should we just do the slingshot again? She's like, oh, you got to do the Vomitron because it's like you have those G-forces for longer.
She was right.
We were a little bit sus because it didn't look like it went that fast. But when you're on the tip of a spinny thing,
it feels fast.
So we're screaming. And then it's done and we get to the bottom. And a bunch of people are pointing at the sky. And I was like, oh, no, is the machine about to fall? Yeah. Like, everyone is pointing right at the machine. Because a SpaceX rocket was launching right behind us.
With people in it.
Yeah, that Mission 8.
Mission 8. That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
People actually going to the International Space Station, man.
I've seen videos of the SpaceX rockets launching.
The Falcon 9.
Yeah, the Falcon 9 and stuff. And when you see it on video, you're like, wow, that's really cool. But when you see it in person, you're like, what even is that? Like,
it's
what is
that? It's inspiring. It makes me feel like tingly in my stomach. It's like, wow. Like,
it's cool.
We're part of humanity, and humans are going to the International Space Station like literally right now.
Yeah, it's like the coolest thing you can think about, honestly.
And then the stage separation happened, and I don't know if it's like the moisture in the air around here, but like it looked like a jellyfish light show. Like it kind of like went boosh and like all these tentacles kind of came out. It was like a blue purple aura from the separation of the rocket. It was incredible to see.
Very cool.
So we ended up getting out of the machine and looking at the launch before the separation, which is probably the coolest part that you could see.
Yeah.
So,
and we were launching around on this thing while people were going to space. It's just cool.
Yeah. We were awesome. Kind of in it together, just slightly less G forces.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And then we walked home, and the second we got in, it was probably like a 3-hour walk.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys had like fishing poles, and we're like trying to walk around because like we didn't know where their lines were and stuff.
Big fishing poles. I never seen a fishing pole that big in my life.
And Will asked this man, he's like, "What are you fishing for tonight?"
Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Well, typically I get sharks and other things, like big fish out here." And he casts this thing out and he gets it caught in the currents. And so it brings it out like further to sea is what he was kind of explaining.
And it's a giant fishing pole. And he was literally fishing for sharks.
Right where we were frolicking in the water like 2 hours before.
We had no idea.
And he is like, "Yeah, they're very aggressive little suckers. Like, they swim around the current and eat meat." And I was like, "Whoa, no." And this guy comes out there and catches sharks on the daily. Yeah.
Florida people are built different.
They're built different, man.
He's just like, "Yep, gotta eat shark."
Yeah. And from my understanding, you can't really eat that much of a shark. You can eat like the fins and stuff like that. But yeah, seems like a very interesting sport to me. I would rather just catch them and release them. Like,
just so you can see them.
Getting a shark on a fishing pole would be a pretty extreme.
Yeah. We might need to do that next time we're here. Yeah. What we are going to do next time we're here is Trey Jones, we did the last podcast with.
Gatorland.
Knows people that work at this place called Gatorland, which is like the biggest crocodile rescue, he said.
Yeah, they have some big mamajamas there.
So basically we can get behind the fence and feed them. And after the podcast, man, I wish he would have said it on the podcast, but they play this game when they're there where they stand in the dirt and draw a circle around their feet and they throw pieces of meat into each other's circle. And it's like chicken. The last to leave their circle wins.
Yeah.
With a crocodile eating meat at your feet.
Yeah, dude. And like, I thought when they were explaining it, like Trey was saying, like how they play the game, and then he's like, "Yeah, these alligators, they still could really eat you." And like, for some reason, I thought these alligators were like trained to like not eat you or something like that.
I think it's like they'll take the general impression of what Florida men have told us is they will take the easiest way to get food.
Yeah. Like, so if you're not super easy to eat, you're probably fine. You're probably not going to get caught by a gator.
Like yesterday, we went on a fan boat tour, and there was all these gators everywhere. And we saw a 12-foot gator, which was like the most dinosaur-looking thing ever.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And drift boats, I think you call drift boats or fan boats, they are awesome.
Yeah, this
was
fan boats.
560 horsepower supercharged V8 pushing us around. And it was nice. Like, you just like, it's so much smoother than I could have possibly imagined. But after seeing that 12-foot guy, like after the tour, Will held a little one that they like, you know, they put a little rubber band so it can't snatch you.
Yeah, but they are just the coolest things, dude.
I still was completely uninterested in picking up that thing, even with the rubber band, man.
He like, it was extending his arms like he was about to do like some Naruto jump. Like when I grabbed him, he's like, boom.
Yeah, man. I just don't want to mess with dinosaurs, man. Like I'm not, you know, I'm not built for that.
I wish they had like that size of alligator. I would have one if they didn't grow large. Like That is awesome.
You do want kind of every pet. You could, like, if you lived here, you would end up being Tiger King.
Yeah.
You'd be like, man, did you know you can have lions and tigers and bears in Florida, like, just in your house?
It's amazing, dude. Like, the Florida people just know how to live. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, the weather is definitely nice. But if you came here in the summer, man, and you weren't built for it, the humidity and the heat, it almost feels like your skin is, like, peeling off your body.
Yeah, but it just is like...
It's probably still better than the snow for you. Because you don't... Well, I guess you started snowboarding.
I would rather, like, ride bikes in hell than live in the snow. Like, it is nice. Like, I just want to do wheelies till the day I die. And Florida is so much more set up for that. Like, I'm just not a snow sport kind of person. Like, I know people are like, well, man, you can just go skiing and stuff. It's like... Not the point, though. The point is it gets dark at, like, 2 o'clock
yeah.
in the afternoon. And
that is depressing.
Like, and then, like, yeah, you're skiing, but then you get done, and it's, like, 4 o'clock, and you're like, guess I'll go to bed.
Like, that's why I always got confused on why, like, skiing and snowboarding ended up being such, like, a posh sport.
Yeah.
Because I think when it started, it was kind of, like, rowdy outlaws, and certainly snowboarding was, like, yeah, strap on a piece of plywood to your feet, hike up to the top of the mountain, and go bonsai whenever the waves are low. Just drive up to Tahoe and send it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you can't surf. So, but what it ended up being, like, all the ski towns, everything's super expensive and all this stuff. And, like, businessmen are traveling with their families to, like, go ski and, like, spend a bunch of money. And it's like, huh. Do you think they get there, spend like $4,000 on the weekend, and then they're just sitting there when it's dark and freezing cold at 4 o'clock? Like,
what am I doing here? Yeah.
Like, we should have gone to Florida and done the Gator Tour for like $20.
I think the only reason it's enjoyable to people like that is like they come from the other version. Like, they come from California or Florida, and they're like, wow, I really can't wait to spend a week here. That's the difference.
You spend a week in somewhere cold for the experience. I can't
wait to push myself and spend the week in a place that gets dark, like the North Pole, for a week and see if I can survive. It's not like, you know, I think that's why people take vacations there. It's like a survival test. But when you live there... You just are a survivor, and I don't know if that's the same kind of vibe I'm looking for.
I will say, like, now that you've been hanging around for, like, a couple of years, you are at least 20% happier in the summer.
Yeah, I love the sun. It's so nice. And then when the snow comes on, I just go sit in my Subaru and listen to, like, man, it's so cold outside.
This kind of sad boy music.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, and this winter especially was, like, kind of terrible. Like, I like drifting around in the snow and having some fun for, like, the first 2 months of snow. Yeah,
just as much as the next guy.
Yeah, like, everyone likes doing that. But there wasn't even snow. It was just rain and wet mush, like, all winter long.
That is true. That's very true.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I love Florida. Like, it is amazing here. It's warm here. And I like the ocean and, like, the sun. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, though, I mean, the mountains, the trails, like, there's a lot you miss. It's not really the kind of thing you just want to go really fast on a straight, flat highway.
I honestly love hiking. Like, I did the Enchantments last year and the year before that and Mount Adams. And I love where we live, and I love it in the summertime. It's really nice. But it's summer and it's warm, and, like, I could be out at 11 o'clock and go jump in the river, and it's, like, fine and nice, and I can ride my motorcycle after, and it's great. But later in my life, I might turn into, like, what do they call that? A summer eagle or something. People only live in Idaho, like, when it's nice, and then they leave Idaho for survival season.
A summer eagle?
Yeah. Like, yeah, there is spread my wings while I'm in Idaho in the summertime, and then I just go to Florida in the wintertime.
This is called I Live in Idaho Seasonally.
Yeah.
A seasonal dweller. Yeah, a lot of people, even on Ethan's Road, either have places or rent places in Mexico every winter. Because Ethan's Road does hit different most winters.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not young and, like, able to trundle through a foot of snow, if your car gets stuck to get home, you might just not get home.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who park, like, miles away from their houses and snowmobile and stuff up.
Winter bird?
There's summer eagle.
There's a name for this. And it's like expat as if you were like to say move to Costa Rica when you retire because you like don't want the snow.
Yeah. But
man, there is definitely a name. You're on it.
I think I'm pretty close.
It's probably a summer eagle.
Yeah.
It's like the American version of the term. You just made it more American.
Yeah.
No, man.
But yeah, after all of that and before all of that, seeing gators and stuff, we went to podcast with some really awesome Florida men who BMX bike, and they have this whole park in their backyard, which I thought was so cool.
So cool.
It's really awesome. Like
there's even a little ramp that goes up a palm tree to a basketball hoop that has skate light on the backboard of the basketball hoop.
Yeah, and I forget who was telling me, but one of them did that you're talking about on the basketball hoop, and his bike got caught in the netting, and he ate shit, dude.
Oh, man.
They were explaining it to me while you were saying up the podcast. I was like, oh. If you guys see a picture of this, it's pretty gnarly.
Oh, there's a picture?
Not of the wreck, but like I have a picture of
I got a picture too. Yeah, I'll put it in the podcast.
And you guys kind of have to see it to like imagine how uncomfortable that wrecking on this material would be. It's like pieces of wood, but there's gaps in between. So it'd probably cut you like Swiss cheese.
And Florida's so rowdy. Like everyone we've talked to, they say completely crazy things like it's super normal. Like when we do crazy things, we're like, oh, yeah, like at Mountain Mafia, this off-road event, Ethan jumped the Colonel, our like four-wheel drive power wheels, 100 horsepower KTM twin.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped at like 65 feet or something.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm even over-exaggerating one bit. It was probably more, but Ethan underestimates because he, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't want to put numbers out there that don't aren't real.
He doesn't exaggerate his stories. He unders it to be sure that it's correct.
Yeah.
So we'll say 65 feet. It was probably closer to like 70, but anyways, he jumps it and we're like, wow, that's crazy. And people at the event come up to him and they're like, that was insane. Like you jumped as far as the monster trucks jumped with like roll cages and harnesses, you know, and he just goes yoink like it's nothing. So everyone's like, wow, that's crazy. I feel like if you did that here, people would be like, somebody doing something.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it is in Florida.
I think they just see like a GTA 5 level of craziness every single day. That they're like numb to it, you know?
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, like this time, like my friend got chased by an alligator. Like, no big deal. If you just like look at them big, they'll go away.
Yeah, like people surf with sharks here, like on the daily.
Yeah, Dave was showing us this video of just paddled out with sharks. That's where he surfs every day. And he's like, yeah, I haven't been bitten yet, but I'm going to one of these days. Like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, Dave was
New Smyrna Beach.
Yeah, New Smyrna Beach. Dave was showing me a picture of this woman that he filmed. And he's like, haha, look at her, man. She's running from a shark. And there is like a big shark. Like, I don't know what to show you that would be like as big as this piece of the couch.
Really? Like 10 feet?
Like a 10-foot shark chasing this woman. And he's like, yeah, they're really small. They don't really like to bite unless they feel infringed on, like if you infringe on their space. And then he proceeds to tell me that like sometimes he'll jump off his surfboard onto a shark. Like, isn't that infringing on their space? Like, how do you not get bit, bro?
I don't know, man. Just
it's crazy.
The closer an animal looks like a dinosaur, the least I want to touch it.
Yeah, and like, sharks are actually dinosaurs.
I feel like I'd want to touch a black bear before I touch a shark or a crocodile.
Yeah, they're slithery little things. Like, they slither so fast. And
like, a black bear might, like, mess you up. But, like, I just don't want to get eaten.
Yeah, and those things really want to eat you. Like, a bear might just maul you and, like, kill you because you're being annoying to it. But, like, a shark wants to eat you. Like, it comes up and eats you.
Like, when we were at the crocodile place, Dave was like, yeah, they wouldn't, like, eat you, but they do the death spiral. So they latch onto you and then they spin and break your bones.
Your arms.
So he's like, yeah, like, it'd rip your arm off, but you wouldn't die. I'm like, oh. Well, that's nice. I guess it's ever. Casual, so I'd swim with one.
And people do. Like, I think Dave was telling me that he swims across this, like, big, dark, murky river in the woods to get to a rope swing. And he's like, yeah, when you're swimming across the river, you just really think maybe today's the day that I get grasped by an alligator from below, because they just sit in the mud and they can sit down there for hours. And so they said that they just throw sticks in the water before they swim across. And they're like, yeah, you're hoping that the alligator goes for the stick and not for you before you get to the rope swing. Like, I wouldn't even want to swing off a rope swing into murky water in the woods here.
Yeah.
That sounds very dangerous.
It's like if there's like a bunch of like dead dry grass and you're like, strong likelihood there's a bear under that grass, but I'm gonna go jump into it.
Yeah, that's what that is like. Like, yeah, that would be like us seeing a cave in Idaho with like bear poop on the outside and like,
yeah, like we'll go bear in the cave
prints in the inside and being like, all right, we're going to go cave exploring, bro. Like, you don't do that in Idaho, but these people, like, do that here. They swim with alligators.
Absolutely. And we still have a lot more to go through. We're, like, T-minus 15 minutes from going to see Tavares, and then we're going to go on a Suron, my favorite thing ever, those electric dirt bikes. But this one's 22 kilowatts, so out of the box they have six. And these guys rigged it up with the ski so you could go pond skimming. So that's what we're going to do today. We got to go do it. But thanks for listening to the Sent and Bent podcast. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. And it's going pretty hard on Spotify right now, guys. So thanks for all the ratings that you gave. If I didn't respond to your voice message, I think I responded to them all. If I didn't, just like, respond to it again, just like to say, hey, you didn't send me a voice message, and I'll send it to you. I'll get it out.
So, a voice message.
Thank you so much for your support. None of this would be possible without you guys. See you next week.
See ya.